always an absolute blessing to get to come to the house of the Lord and have a good song service, have a good Sunday school class, a good song service, feel the Spirit of God just dwelling, you know, just bouncing person to person in here. And I get fired up a lot of times on Sunday morning, just get out, you know, just praising the Lord, you know, just waving Him off. Say, yeah, Lord, because you think about the opportunity that He gives me to come and share this holy Word of God about His Son and about salvation. I want to think about this morning. I want to back up a little bit and get back to basics. You know, I've been watching a housing project go on over here, a building project, and they're laying a foundation and working on it. And, you know, through the week, that kind of affected me, understanding that without the firm foundation, without the beginning, the rest of it's really no good. And so I got thinking about all week long. You know, I thought about how we build our Christian life and what we build on. Now, we have a foundation that's sure and firm. It's the cornerstone, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, that if we're built on that, I'm telling you, everything you build, it's going to make it. And we can trust that. So when we get talking about the basics, I mean the basics of Christianity, you know, the church has certain purposes. And I love it when Mark comes up here and gets out of breath reading what we're doing, you know. He goes through so many things, he gets short of breath, you know. And I love that, you know, that we're a busy church and we're doing a lot of things and see a lot of happenings take place. But I'm going to tell you, I think we ought to be just as busy seeing souls saved. Now, that's what it comes down to, about souls saved by the grace of God. You know, we're singing that song a minute ago, when we all get to heaven. I'd love to know that we're all going to get to heaven. You know, everybody in this community, everybody on this mountain, everybody in both valleys. Now, you might say, well, it's a dream. Yeah, I've got a dream. I understand the power of God that we could be a busy people bringing them in. So as we get back to basics, we're going to talk about what it takes for salvation in this life. I'm going to share with you this morning the Word of God that'll get you through even while the world's on fire. It'll be good. It'll be good. I think about this a lot of times. You know, when we start into this about salvation, and God's got a plan. I'm telling you, God had a plan, and He brought Jesus to this earth to help fulfill that plan of His, that through His blood we're going to have forgiveness of sin. Not of your own works, not of your own ability, but what God did on the cross of Calvary through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, a lot of times, you know, when we start talking about salvation, let me tell you, God saved me one time and it's good. Praise the Lord, it's good glue, it's stuck. You know, and it's still there. And then a lot of people want to argue that point. And I was having a conversation the other day, and they said, well, it all depends on how we interpret the Word of God. Well, I'm standing there, and I'm kind of at loss. I thought, what do you mean, interpret the Word of God? I go up there to the Bible bookstore and buy me one of these printed in English. I speak English. I understand English. I don't have to interpret the Word of God. God interpreted it for me. Now, you think about that. Most of the time, when you run into somebody and they start talking about how they interpret, most of the time they want to change God's Word to suit them, and that don't work. Interpret. Anybody here not got a book, a Bible in English? If you don't, I'll give you one. If yours is in Greek or Hebrew or something, I'd have to have an interpreter too. But God gave us this Word plain. And you just understand, most of the time when they say, well, we interpret that a little different, they want to change it to suit them or their church. I want to tell you something. We don't change God to suit this church. We change this church to suit God. And that's the way it goes. If y'all need an interpreter, God bless you. Go get you one of these books like I got. You know, I just went up there and laid some money down. Got this book, and it contains the holy Word of God. And it's in English. I can read most of it. Can't spell some of it, but I can read most of it. Now, next time y'all hear somebody say, well, we interpret it this way, you just think about it, that they're wanting to change God's Word to suit them most of the time. I don't have to interpret this for anybody. This plain Word. Let's look at Acts chapter 26, Acts chapter 26, and we're going to talk about down to basics. You know, this is what really matters when the world's on fire, when the Lord's coming back. That's when it's going to really matter. That song we're singing, and when we all get to heaven. I'd like to know that everybody here is going to get to heaven. I'd like to know that everybody in this house is saved, and through that we'll branch out and we'll increase and bring more people in to hear the Word of God. I'm telling you, we need to be a busy church, not only in activities and things going on, but we need to be busy church in the, out in the world, witnessing and telling people about the power of God. That if you can't do it on your own accord, try to persuade them to come in here, and I'll guarantee you, if you'll pray, I'll tell them. If you'll pray, I'll tell them about Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 26, starting in verse 24. Now, we find Paul in prison. That's not anything unusual or new for him. He stayed in jail about as much as he stayed out. But in Acts chapter 26 and verse 24, he's witnessing and telling them about Jesus. And as he thus spake for himself, Festus said with a loud voice, "Paul, thou art beside thyself. Much learning doth make thee mad." But he said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness." Now notice the words of truth and soberness. "For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from me, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." Then Agrippa said unto him, "Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." And Paul said, "I would to God that not only thou, but all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds." And so we see Paul's desire that he said, "Everybody that hears me, I wish they'd be almost and altogether such as I am." Now, Paul was a believer in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm telling you, Paul met him down on the road to Damascus, and from that day forward, he was his king. He was his Lord. He was the Savior to him. And so when Paul starts talking to Agrippa and he asked him, he said, "Believest thou the prophets?" He had a desire to see people saved. Now, that same desire ought to be in our hearts and our minds today. If you got lost loved ones, you ought to have a desire to know they're saved by the grace of God, that we all go to heaven together. When we all get to heaven. I hate for part of us to get up there and miss somebody. And so when they go down through this thing and he starts preaching and teaching him about Jesus Christ, and Agrippa said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Guess how good that is. Almost. Almost don't count in salvation. Almost don't count in the things of God. I was almost a millionaire. Well, it could have happened. And what good is that? You think about almost. Well, y'all were almost millionaires. And what good is that? And let's think about where Paul found himself in his desire. He said, "I wish not only you, but everybody that heard me were persuaded." And Agrippa had made a statement, said, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Well, now, so far, what I've covered, does anybody here need an interpreter? Are y'all all right with this? It's pretty plain, isn't it? You know, I don't see the need, and all these people from other doctrines or other religions or other whatever they might call it that argue the point with me that, well, we interpret that a little bit different. Let them interpret anything. I don't interpret. I don't have to. I got one wrote in English. And understand most of it. And so where we come out of this, you know, Paul's desire was that Agrippa be saved, and not only him, but everybody that heard him. And so that ought to be our desire, first and foremost, of this church, that we desire to see people saved by the grace of God, that we might all get to heaven one day. And so when we start thinking about these things, you know, let's look back just a little bit. Paul, while he was in this same place and in the same prison, he had dealings with other people too. Let's talk Acts chapter 24. Turn back just for a minute, a couple of verses. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. Acts chapter 24 and verse 24. Turn back about one page. "And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife, Drusilla, which was a Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning faith in Christ. And so they bring Paul down and they hear him concerning faith in Christ. Now, you talk about a privilege Paul had to go in and talk to Felix. And he said, and I'm going to tell him about Jesus. And I get thinking about, I ought to be just as excited today to tell people about Jesus as Paul was. Paul was fired up. He begins telling them. In verse 25, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, go thy way, for this time when I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. He heard Jesus Christ preached. He heard about him being the Son of God. He heard about him, no doubt, dying on the cross of Calvary, shedding his blood for the sins of the world. And I'm telling you, Phoenix, he listened to this, and it said, as he reasoned. In other words, when he decided and made the decision he's going to make, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. I've never found in this Word of God where it got convenient for Felix. I've never one time heard that it got convenient for Felix to call Paul back and say, I want to hear more about Jesus. I'm telling you, as far as I know, he never accepted Christ. He never believed it because he wanted to do it on his time and his schedule. He said, go thy way for a season. He said, I'll call you when it's convenient. Now, if you're here this morning and waited on the convenience of being saved, you've got a problem. If you're here this morning and you're waiting on your convenience to maybe become a member of this church or maybe to follow the Lord in baptism or maybe just rededicate your life, whatever it is, if you're here and you're waiting for it convenient for you, you've got a problem. I'm going to tell you, the devil's not going to make it convenient for you. You think the devil's going to come in here and make it convenient? No. Last thing you'd want to see happen. In St. John chapter 6 and verse 44, it said, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to the last day. Did everybody get that? That you're not going to come to God. You're not going to be obedient to what he wants in your life and his will except when he motivates you and when he calls you. Except the Father which sent me draw him. If you're waiting on convenience, you've got a problem. We're in a world of convenience. You got a convenience store. Pretty convenient to go through a drive-in, get a hamburger, all these things. But I'm going to tell you, God's not into convenience. So if you're waiting on a different interpretation or you're waiting on convenience, you got a problem. You want convenience? Go to convenience store. You want salvation? Go to God. When I read this, it breaks my heart about Felix. He was so close. He was so close. He was motivated. Now, God had called him. God had drawn him. Or he'd have never called Paul and said, I want to hear about Jesus. And so the drawing power was there, and he refused it. He said, so now when it's convenient for me. I never found convenience for Felix. Let's look over Romans chapter 3 just for a few minutes, and let's talk about basics of salvation. Basics of salvation. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 through 12. I'm going to cover a few verses in Romans. Romans chapter 3, verse 10. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Now, that sounds like a pretty poor description of us, right? But God knows us. And he gives us this description to let us know and understand that it's not about our righteousness or about the good that we've done or the works that we might have performed. It's about what Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Now, there's a lot of people that'll stand and boast and try to make me understand and believe they're holier than thou. Yeah, it just sickens me out, you know. It does. I'm going to tell you what we are. We're sinners saved by the grace of God. Anybody here without sin in your life, you stand up and you're exempt. You won't even need church anymore. You know, you could go home. But we've all come under sin. And so when we start going down through this, in Romans 3 and 23, it said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You know, I used to talk to a bunch of young people, and they had an idea in their mind that they was all right with God. And I asked one of them one time, I said, well, why do you think you're all right with God? I said, if God required your life, are you going to heaven or are you going to hell? That's the choice that you got. He said, well, preacher, give us a little credit of being born right. No, we weren't born right. We were born a few days and full of trouble, you know, a woman. And so when we get down to this, talking about all of sin and come short of the glory of God, that gives me a great opportunity. Now you think about this in what I do as pastor in a church and in my ministry, it's unlimited work. You know, I know a lot of people say, well, we don't have much work. That's not the position a pastor has. You know, I got more work than I can get done. You think about it. You ever saw construction people, the work gets slow and they get laid off? I'm safe. Praise the Lord, I'm safe in preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, y'all know what I'm talking about. You ever got laid off a job because it's over or got done, right? Right. I have too. They said, work slow. We're going to lay off somebody. Praise the Lord. Pastors are safe. That's the way I see it. And then when it talks about all of sin comes toward the glory of God, that's to let us know and have the understanding that God is in control of our lives, you know, regardless. And we go over a little bit farther in Romans chapter 5. And I'm going right down this Roman road just for a few minutes. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. You turn there with me. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Now, understanding this word, and I don't need an interpreter for this. It said, by one man sin entered in. And it's talking about, if you read back in Genesis chapter 2 and chapter 3, and it's talking about Adam, you know, back in the Garden of Eden where he partake of the forbidden fruit. God said don't, he did. It's that easy. You know, I don't have to have that interpreted for me. God said don't, he did. And guess what? When you do that, you're in trouble. You got a problem with God. And so all the way back to the Garden of Eden, and you inherited enough sin from Adam to let you burn in hell without a Savior, the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. Every one of us got it through mankind. By one man. If I quit there, we could all go out of here in tears. I guarantee you, if I'd have shut that off and said they not no more, you wouldn't have a chance. But I'm so thankful to God that he didn't end that story right there. He starts the other way, and he starts telling us about the promise and about what God has done on the cross of Calvary. In chapter 5 and verse 8, chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while you were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so you're saved from the wrath of God through the blood and the justification of Jesus Christ on the cross of Calvary. And it talks about he loved us and while we were yet sinners. Now that's an amazing thing. You know, some of us, our mamas had a hard time loving us. Took them years to learn, you know. But I'm going to tell you. Well, now, some of you can laugh, but I've just told the truth. Everybody's mama don't love them. If they did, they wouldn't dump them in the street and they wouldn't forsake them. They wouldn't cast them out of their house. Well, is that truth? You think about it. And God loved these people while they were yet sinners. He didn't clean them up to the point he could accept them. No, he loved them while they were still sinners. And boy, that just amazes me. That just it just sends a thrill through my whole body to know that God loved me regardless. Didn't matter what I was or who I was. This God loved me. Now, why would we not give our life to the Lord because of that love? Be dedicated to him. Over in Romans chapter 10, I want to go over there just for a minute. Romans chapter 10. When people ask me, what have I got to do to be saved? I know some people will tell you, well, you probably need to jump this high, or you need to run through that hoop, or you need to have this many classes. Maybe you need to pray through. Just so many things I hear. Well, and then they go back to talk about, well, it depends on how you interpret. I don't interpret. I just read it. I don't need an interpreter. This is English. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Anybody need an interpreter? No. I don't think we need an interpreter for that. Is there any way to misunderstand that? This is God's holy word. In verse 10, it gives an explanation. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You believe it, you confess it, and praise the God, you're saved. Verse 12, for there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is reaching to all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, I don't have to interpret. I don't have to change. I don't have to add to. I don't have to take away. This is what God's word says. This is the qualification to get you into heaven. Now, a lot of people want to tie this with it and want to tie that with it. Now, don't misunderstand me. I believe when people are saved, according to the word of God, that it does change them. But the change is not what saves you. God saves you and then you change through his power. We think so many times what's really important in life. Do y'all ever do that? Just sit down and think, God, what's really important in my life? And you know, I look through this congregation and I know what's important to some of you. I can tell by the way you live, by the way you act, the way you treat people. I can see these babies and I know that's importance in life. But the only thing that we can grasp in this life and have that will last eternity is this salvation through Jesus Christ. Now, we went through the plan, God's plan of salvation. We went through the thing with Felix when he said, according to him, he said, when I have time, when it's convenient. Now, if you've waited for convenience, I'm not going to guarantee that God's going to deal with that, because God's not a God of convenience. But if you've been waiting on a convenient time, that may never happen. I'm telling you, while God's drawing you, no man can come to me except the Father which sent me draw him, and I will raise him up to the last day. While God's dealing and working with you today, that'd be the time to come for salvation, the time for repentance, the time for rededication, the time for baptism, the time to join the church, whatever it might be. Don't bypass the time when God deals with you. Y'all stand. We're going to have a verse for song. And you think about what's been spoken here today and what God has spoke to you through the Spirit and the power of God, the Holy Ghost. You think about it. If you're waiting on convenience, that could be a problem. If you're waiting on somebody to translate, that could be a problem, because I don't know. I don't understand all this translation. That's not the way we translate it. That's usually because they want to change it. God's word don't change to suit us. We change to suit God. Anybody need to come and pray? Y'all don't have to wait on me to start. Just come on and pray. Go ahead, Chris.
It's 293.
293. Anybody need to come and pray? Whatever your need is in life, God can settle it today.